I understand that the windmill is part of my story. Windmill to windmill, windmill to windmill. It's so much more about just sex.
I'm a pilot.
I'm about to embark on the most amazing flight of my life.
Very high on life.
Definitely a lot of flying. That's my first love. This is the captain speaking. I'd like to welcome aboard Bachelaire. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's definitely going to be drama.
What drama?
But hopefully we'll end with a nice greaser of a touchdown. Welcome aboard.
I have a lot of opinions tonight, and you're going to hear about them.
I thought it was a great episode. Not for anyone.
Did you really?
Not for anybody on the show.
In terms of content, you thought? I thought it was pretty boring.
No, it's just a series of mistakes.
It was...
Oh, yeah, it was boring, but...
It was for sure.
But it leaves you with the subtext to play and to project and hypothesize.
I love that. I love that about us.
Not good for a recap show. Luckily, we're a little bit more than that.
Well, I mean, and you know, I would say maybe not great for Australian tourism, which they need right now, so...
Or the people who do casting on the show.
Ugh.
Oh, they have come
well,
up
I
empty.
Mean, well, now that you've got these girls, quote unquote, left,
Right?
Yeah, I
think... It's like, does someone have to win?
What a time to be alive.
Cut to.
I just...
So we've been watching
happy endings again.
Oh, yeah, great decision.
We truly can't help ourselves.
I don't know what. This is our, what, sixth or seventh time through the whole series?
Yeah, six or seven.
So,
It's going great.
Man, what a better show than this.
What else is... You know what's a better show than this? Love is Blind.
Taylor watched all of Love is Blind over the weekend.
No, the finale of Love is Blind is on Thursday. I think you would really enjoy it, Adam. It's basically this show, but totally different.
Here's what I did with my time. I'm reading this book.
Oh my God, the book about the cats.
I'm reading this book, and it's like 600 pages, and 450 pages in, three quarters of the way into the book.
Spoiler alert.
One character, well, I'm not going to tell anybody the name of the book.
Oh.
So, like, three quarters of the way in, you've already put in, I don't know what, a full 24 hours of reading at this point.
Right.
It's very complex and, like, long, so you got to read it slow.
Yes.
You get 450 pages in, and one character turns to the other characters.
That's just so funny.
And he's like, you don't think it's weird that you're just anthropomorphized cats, and you have been this whole time?
What?
Turns out they are. So this one character...
When he first told me that, I screamed and I laughed. And then I told him the story about how I used to read Garfield comic books in grade school.
So it's a story about...
Actually more of a graphic novel.
It's a story that has multiple levels of authorship and like different realities as a result of how many authors there are to reality and like what's really going on. And
Say reality again.
Listen, I'm pretty sure if the author was like listening to my recap of his book, he'd be like, that's the one word to be author and reality are the words to be picking up on here.
Actually, the words to pick up on are anthropomorphic cats.
Yeah, they really are just cats. And like, you kind of go, wait, these guys have been kind of hairy the entire book. And he's been saying paws instead of hands an awful lot. And you're like, wait, maybe they are cats.
So these are the things that we talk about on the weekend.
The disparity of our weekend plans.
Yikes.
Anyway.
I go to Soul Cycle and Adam reads weird books. Can you believe it?
Cut to.
Mm.
So we're at the last seconds of the rose ceremony. We start where the last rose ceremony ended up, which is basically with Madison chasing Peter down the carpet. The red carpet? Is it a carpet?
Again, they're in a tarmac. There's a hangar involved.
Yeah, chasing
Did
him
you
away.
Know Peter was a pilot.
So Madison is chasing Peter like, hey, listen, we have to talk. And they've been setting this up for us the whole time. We know that what she's going to say is, listen, I've made a decision to save myself sexually from marriage, and I'm going to require you to do the same thing on the fantasy suite dates, or else this is it.
Now,
we know she's going to say it.
Now, Adam, tell the people what she actually does say.
None of that.
None
she
of that.
She goes, listen, I'm going to be upset if you spend the night with the other women.
Now, I know that sometimes we watch this show and then we sensationalize and create this whole thing around like, oh my God, and this girl said something crazy. No.
That is a transcript reading
from
the stenographer.
This is verbatim what she said to him. I will be very upset if you have sex with other people or if you are intimate with other people. Yep. And then she colored it with some additional information about saying, you know, my faith is very important to me. And
actions speak louder than words. Actions speak
louder than words. A lot of that kind of language. She never once, during this time frame, specifically told Peter, do not do X or Y will occur.
She also didn't say, listen, I'm still a virgin, and the reason that I would require this of you is because I am requiring it of myself also.
That never happened.
You think it's going to be really clear like this? It is the most muddled, messy, gray, unclear way we could have possibly gotten there. And you end it and you're like, wait, explain yourself. You have not said anything.
So you would think that after all of this stuff and what we've been seeing would eventually come about in this episode, that this conversation would have been a little bit more clearer and that we would have a reason to feel mad, angry, hurt at Peter Weber for ruining this relationship for himself. However, come to find out, this is really everybody's fault.
So you walk away from this conversation, and Madison goes, in her own mind, she goes, okay, I told him. Or, I think. And Peter goes, well, yeah, she's going to be upset if I sleep with the other women. I knew that before her telling me.
Girl, people in hell want ice water. Has she ever watched the show? And again, this will come up a number of times from me. One, she can't be mad if she didn't say anything. First of all,
she didn't watch the game tape.
Two, she knows what happens when you get on this show. And she says this later on, we'll get to it, but she says very clearly, you know, I fought through you kissing other girls and whatever. I'm like, if you knew that this was so important to you, why didn't you say anything? And when you did say something, I don't want to, you know, poo-poo on a 23-year-old girl that's inarticulate. But you're a 23-year-old girl who's inarticulate. Figure out how to speak your words, especially if this is so important to you. You should have a speech ready for this by now.
I hate to just keep being the writer in all of this. But even then, at the end of your conversation, you need to have a conclusion where you say, okay, here's what we both agreed, right? Like, we had this conversation, we talked, I said some things, you said some things, here's where we agreed. You're not going to have sex with anybody, and then I'm going to be really happy about that. That's the way you end it. You don't just sort of walk off into the misery.
Yeah, and let's be clear, and we'll probably address this when we get to it later. There's a couple things that we will address in this episode. One, the difference between Madison and Luke P., which we need to talk about. A lot of people have brought that up to me. And second of all, the fact that both of these things are totally okay. It is totally okay for Peter Weber to be insatiable. It's gross, but I don't love it, but it's fine. It is totally okay for Madison to want to save herself for marriage and to be super into Jesus and know that her faith and her body and her mind and her spirit are all hers to own and decide to do with it what she wants to do with it. That is fine. I don't care.
But just this talk about it. Just say what it is.
To say something. Okay.
She should have said what she wanted to say, and then he could have said, listen, I really like sleeping with people. I do it all the time.
All the time. That's literally part of my narrative. The windmill. It's part of my narrative.
Kelly. Before this thing.
Right, Kelly. Exactly. Okay, so we get to the end of the...
Let's do the Tarantino approach, and that's the beginning, and now we're going to do a whole bunch of other stuff and then come back to it.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, great. So one of the unique things about this, we go to the Gold Coast of Australia. As you know, we honeymooned in Australia. It was soups fun.
We've been there. It was
Australia's
great.
The best, everybody. It really, really is.
Everything will kill you, but everything else totally. Is great.
Everything's so big. Like, if you've ever seen Alien, that's what the spiders are like. Just that.
Yeah.
They're
human-sized, and they're poisonous, and they're, you know,
remember just when we were at the resort, and we were driving in our golf cart, and I think there was definitely a frog in the road, and there was a moment where we decided, are we going to die, or are we going to swerve? Are we going to swerve and die?
We were like, listen, I'm not going to challenge this frog.
Because the frog could, us killing the frog could ruin the ecosystem. And then like a giant tarantula will fly out of the sky and kill us.
We are notorious for having a one thing a day policy on vacation.
Correct.
This is definitely true for the honeymoon. The perfect time to do nothing. Totally. Or one thing a day on a vacation.
Amazing.
So we have one thing to do. I'm pretty sure we had already done it and we were just driving. This frog is in the middle of the road and we were like, cool, we'll wait.
I will wait.
We'll just wait.
There was also a moment where we were coming back from breakfast and there were some snakes in the pathway. Nope. Do you remember that?
Nope. Well, yeah, but you know, now we're doing zero things a day.
You blacked out.
I'm staying here.
Adam blacked out. Adam said, I'm going back to the lobby and I'm just going to sit here. I live here
These
now.
These are Australian-sized snakes.
Yes, so that was cool. So here's the unique part about this. We go to Australia. It's all fun and games. It's very cute. So in walks Madison to her suite, or what she thinks is her suite.
It looks nice. It looks fancy.
It looks
great.
Nice. We love it. There's, you know, it's doing a mid-century mod thing. We love to see it.
Everything's perfect.
Everything's perfect. And then in walks Hannah Ann.
And is she already crying or what?
And eyebrows are raised. Madison is surprised to see Hannah Ann. And then in walks Victoria. This show has made all three of these girls stay with each other during the fantasy suite date. This is awful. This is the first time this has ever happened, just for context, because I know Adam is new to the program.
This is my 14th season
of doing
this show.
I know, but you don't know the rest of the history, thank you very much. So this is the first time that they've ever made any of the contestants, and I won't say girls because it could be anybody, get back together during the week of the fantasy suite. So usually you don't know.
You leave for hometowns.
You leave for hometowns and that's the last time you see everybody. Then also part of not living with each other is that you don't know the order of operations. You can't have a conversation with somebody else and say, okay, you were clearly first. I was last. Where did everybody fall in the pattern? Were there 2 or 3 days in between everybody? You just are essentially sitting in a hotel room.
More importantly, did you spend the night overnight on the fantasy suite date or did you not?
Or
it's almost like
home.
This is going to be very important to one of the contestants.
Yes. This is the devil at work.
Did they
know...
just run out of budget? They're like, guess what? We could only afford the one room. Actually, there's really only one bedroom. So, like, if you guys come home from your fantasy suites and there's, like, a scrunchie on the doorknob, you know what happened.
I don't think they did. You know I always say that that the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. I'd like to flip that a little bit and say,
The producers of The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly. This was diabolical. Truly. What were your thoughts, Adam?
So, all it really does is, at the end of, literally, of every act of the entire show, they go back to the house. Here's what the girls are talking about. Back at the house.
Here's what the girls
and
are talking about.
And most of it is so dumb.
So dumb.
It's just a bunch of, like, they're just sitting there on the couch, and one girl goes to the other one, you look skinny. And the other one goes, you look tan.
Oh, my God.
And then that's all they say.
Because what are they going to say? Because what could they talk about? Say, oh, hey, I f***ed your boyfriend yesterday?
Yeah, the girls come back in the morning after the fantasy suite dates in all the instances. They come back and everyone just looks around and we go, that's a cute dress.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's just avoid the elephant in the room.
Let's just not talk about it. Let's just...
all honesty, what are they supposed to say? But it doesn't make it any better to film it and air it.
It's not good. The only thing that I will mention that is so funny to me is that when the girls first got back together, they said, oh, you know, how's your hometown? Oh, it was great. Oh, it was great. And Victoria was like, oh, it was good.
Was it? He didn't meet your family.
Stop lying.
This is an inaccurate summary of your hometown.
That was super funny. Okay, so then I guess let's get into these dates, man.
So Hannah Ann goes first.
Yes.
And their activity of the date is jet skiing, which is great.
Fun.
This is a cute date, you know. If one of you is crying all the time, like, it's not really so bad because you're already getting water in your face as it is.
It's perfect.
This is something that we did while we were in Australia.
We did. We jet skied under a plane that was landing, which is pretty metal.
It was very fun.
It was so fun. I think, what was our instructor's name? Like something, Bodie?
I don't
Brody.
Remember.
It was something like
something
that.
Australian.
Something Australian. He was very tan. Look like a workman.
So we go jet skiing. They're done with that. He lets her drive for a little bit. It's cute. Then we come back and they have this conversation on the beach.
Yes.
Which is just entirely drowned out by audio of the waves lapping on the shore.
Wait, should I do it?
I don't know if it was real life audio with just bad boom placement.
Wait.
Or maybe they just had some Foley at the end.
Am I doing it? Is it?
It was unbelievably loud wave lapping, right? It was obnoxious. It was unbearable.
But hey, this is Australia. It's paradise.
Everything's bigger. Including the wave sound.
Including the wave sounds. It's big. There was one thing that I did want to mention during this date. I mean, obviously, Hannah went to the fantasy suite with Peter. Like, big deal. He's insatiable.
She cried about getting the invitation. She did. Just to be clear.
It's interesting that she called this a sacrifice. Why would she say something like that?
The biggest word she knows. She's trying to show off her vocabulary.
That's true. But I find it really interesting and almost a little bit sad that she's talking about sort of this fantasy suite week in the sense of, well, I guess this is just something I have to do. No, you don't. I mean, you could go to the fantasy suite and not have sex. People do it all the time. I mean, Hannah Brown did it with Tyler Cameron, and look at how stupid she looks now, right?
She definitely should have just stuck with yes, Tyler Cameron.
Yes, I do. I do know that. But, you know, she called it a sacrifice. She was like, you know, I guess I'll just, you know, kind of have to grin and bear it. And yeah, I mean, I think this season more than the other seasons in the past, we've had conversations with the other girls where it's been more difficult to discuss the fact that your boyfriend's having sex with three people in 1 week.
I think Hannah Ann, we're aging out of the show, the part of the show where Hannah Ann is useful at conversation anymore. She's really trying to figure out what she's supposed to say at the same time that she's saying it.
But nobody's useful at conversation at this point.
Idiots.
He's three girls left that one. Victoria can't hold a conversation. Hannah Ann.
None of them can. They're all 23.
Nuts. And then Madison can't clearly communicate. And then yet Peter's like, you know what's important to me? Communication. Are you joking? Who's talking?
So he sits there with Hannah Ann. They have a very lukewarm conversation where they're both trying to say that they're really happy about things, but they also both don't know how to fill up an hours-long conversation with each other. It's really tough. So that's kind of it. They read the fantasy suite date card. Peter instantly either forgets what he talked about with Madison or he just never took it seriously to begin with, which is probably more
likely. It's probably the latter because, again, based on what she said and how she said it, I don't know what she really said to him because, you know, the internet and, you know, the producers or whatever, but she said something that wasn't revolutionary. I'm going to be upset if you have sex with other people. Okay, girl, well, I need to wear socks today. Like, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I also need glasses because I can't see. I don't. So what?
I feel like you're targeting me. Noted glasses wearer and glasses lover.
I'm targeting myself.
So Hannah Ann.
Okay.
So they have this conversation at dinner it's kind of just dumb, right?
Yes.
Nothing happened. Hannah Ann, I realize this because I have to listen to myself talk for an hour every Monday night and edit it. I'm saying like more this season than other seasons. It's a dirty word to say. It's a bad habit for everyone. But nobody else has to sit there and listen to themselves say it so much. And I think it is a very direct correlation to me spending 2 hours watching Hannah Ann and Madison and Victoria talk and then immediately record myself afterward.
Yes.
They're dumbing me down by osmosis.
Yes.
It's exhausting.
And as a communications professional, the alternative would be to say nothing. You can pause.
Well, that doesn't make a very good podcast.
It doesn't. But I'm just telling the people who are listening, the people on the TV, what have you, if you are looking for some quick speech tips on how to public speak a little bit better, if you think you want to say like, don't say anything.
Well, you can say like. It's a word sometimes. You know, you use it as an actual part of speech, as an actual word. It's not just a conversation filler.
You could also say, for example, instead of saying like, Or, like I said before, you could also say nothing. Think about it.
Yeah. So, that again, that's the summary of Hannah Ann's date. It was like dumb.
Oh, stop.
Well, so she cries, whatever. They both accept the fantasy suite card. They go there. They look around. Peter, you know, like we've heard about in a... See, that's an actual good time to say like.
Oh, yeah.
Like we've heard about in a romance novel.
Similar to.
Wraps his arms around her on the balcony and says, "Let's explore inside."
I don't think you've ever read a romance novel before.
No, but I imagine I have, and I also think that's a good enough substitute.
That's not what people say.
So he says, "Let's explore inside," and then they go inside and have a steamy hand on the window moment.
It was a Titanic moment. It was a Titanic moment. You know, the for the young kids who are listening to the podcast, when Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet fornicate for the first time in the backseat of that old-timey automobile, right before the ship hits the iceberg.
Right.
The window fogs up. Somebody puts their hand up. It's still unclear, like, who it would have been. I mean, if she was on the bottom...
Could have been anybody's
hand. Maybe it was her hand, but it looked like it was a man's hand. Unclear. I don't know.
That's it. They just start kissing, and Hannah Ann goes, "Finally, something I'm good at," and just lets that take over.
Phew, because now I don't have to talk.
That's the end of the date. And then back at the house, the girls are talking about it. Like, what do you think is going on? And then Hannah Ann just shows up the next morning, and she goes... crying, she goes, "Yeah, it was great." And everyone's like, "You're so skinny and so tan. You're so skinny, thin. You're so tan, you're so..." Oh my God.
Well, you know, you gotta gas your friends up every once in a while. You don't know what else to say.
These aren't your friends. Let's talk about the next one-on-one date. The next date, I
okay,
guess.
Okay, so Victoria has been wearing the same denim shorts for the past 3 days, which look really cute on her. And now she's got a brand new Reformation top on.
Great. So.
I'm done.
So the date starts and Peter goes, "Let's address the obvious.
Drama!
Your hometown was terrible. I can't figure out why I picked you. But I've been keeping you in long enough. I guess we might as well just have sex."
I don't think that's what he said. However,
I think it does. And she goes, "Thank you."
Thank you. So I don't have to talk. He did apologize to her at the beginning of the date for basically... bringing her into some sort of nonsense by having his ex sort of color his experience of her. And I was very upset by that. I said, "Sir, you have allowed this woman to gaslight you just so that you could see her breasts."
I don't think it was the ex who was criticizing Victoria. It's just truth.
It's
and like
truth.
Fat reality.
Yeah, none of this is a criticism. These
reality makes you look awful.
True.
Sorry.
Things. These are just true things. Yeah. So the other thing that they talked a lot about during this date, actually talking, were their challenges with communicating. She has been pretty clear about, "I know that
we have..." Has she been clear about it?
Well, now, today, this is probably the first time I've seen her actually be clear and then be unclear, that she wants to communicate better with Peter. And so they go on a helicopter ride. It's all very cute, whatever.
A good date for people who don't want to talk to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. You either go on a helicopter ride or go to a movie. But then
helicopter
sometimes...
ride is so loud, but also it's a lot, you know, a movie's a lot more affordable than
a
helicopter ride.
Yeah, but then
ride.
If you go to a movie, then eventually if you go with somebody that actually likes the movie, you have to talk about it afterwards, so.
Gross.
Don't want to do that.
So they have this weird conversation where it's strange because the words they're saying are not words that are expressing opinions or showing that they're getting closer. The words that they're saying are sort of fighting words and also sort of nothing words, but the actions that they're both expressing are, "Yes, I'm finally getting the conversation I wanted."
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
So she talks about how her last serious relationship was a 3-year long experience, which I find to be surprising.
The timeline doesn't stack.
Timeline's not great. So she said she dated Chase, who was her last ex, but also it was kind of a one-night stand thing, but it was her boyfriend. But then also she was in a relationship with somebody for three and a half years,
and she's only 25 now. And she slept with all of her friends' husbands, at least four.
Who's got the time?
Yeah.
And she's a medical sales rep, which means she travels a lot. So I just...
She probably sleeps with so many doctors.
I would.
Okay. So the thing about Victoria is that when she's talking, she doesn't look at you. She just twirls her hair and goes, like, you know, her approach to just reality, just living in part of the regular world, is like a lost child in a department store. She has no idea what's going on. She's just looking for anyone to come tell her what's up and lead her somewhere.
And then she will attach herself to that person
forever. That's basically it. As long as the camera's on, that's it.
The thing I can't understand is it is so wildly different how she talks to the other girls and then how she talks to Peter. What? It is so wild to me. The difference. And I know as an intellectual,
she's not great at talking to the other women either.
I mean, it's better than talking to Peter.
It's not like she's a 10 talking to the other women and a 1 with Peter. It's like a 3 with the other women and
but
a 1 with
it
Peter.
It depends on which woman it is. So when you saw her speaking to like Natasha or maybe people that she's closer with, she's like on it. But
she's
not doing it
with Hannah Ann, obviously.
No, but if Peter is supposed to be your end all, your end game, then you should be talking to him like this, and you're not doing it, sis. So we get to the evening part of the date, and your girl Victoria has regressed. She is back to the I don't knows, to the I don't know Peter, maybe Peter, blah, 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 Peter, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't know.
She Peter, has, why not? Peter, I don't know.
She has this one full sentence where you go, maybe things are turning around, and she's, you know, what she says is, I was in this relationship for 3.5 years, and he never really wanted me to express my feelings, so now I have a hard time doing it. And for a split second, you go, hey, listen, that's a legit thing that could happen.
Oh.
And then Peter goes, great, why? Tell me more. And she goes, I don't know.
You don't know.
This is the only line she had rehearsed, and she ran out of ammunition when there were questions.
And the question that he asked her as a follow-up, it wasn't so challenging.
It was expected.
It was an expected question. And she said, you know, so when he did ask me how I felt like something was wrong or that I didn't deserve it. And then Peter reasonably said, why didn't you feel like you didn't deserve it? Well, I don't know, Peter. Like, I just don't know. Like, I mean, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I'm like, girl, can
she
anybody
talk?
Look
at him. She looks down and she twirls her hair. And so anyway, so he goes, why? She goes, I don't know. And he says,
let's have sex.
He says, I love this.
I love it.
I love how on fire this is. I love how dumb and confusing and just f***ed up this is.
Love it. So hot.
And she goes, like, and then they just go to the fantasy suite.
So
there's no resolution. They're both really happy about it. They both say, they do the cutaways. And Victoria goes, yeah, it's the best conversation we've ever had. And Peter goes, yeah, we're just in such a good place. I can't believe that we're 3/4 of the way through this and just found out that everyone else is an anthropomorphized cat.
Nice.
That was a callback.
It was a callback. So we get to the next morning with the two of them. The one thing I do want to say is it does seem like she's a little bit more articulate with him. And maybe she just needs to have sex with people first.
This is what both of them were going for.
Yes.
So, you know, Victoria has lived her entire life. She has absolutely no good qualities about her except being a crazy hot.
Mm-hmm.
This is where she gets all of her personal value from. Yes. The only interactions she's ever had with any other human being on planet Earth are on the basis of how hot she is, which messes her up when interacting with both sexes. And she basically only has one value to provide to a man, so she's just been waiting for her turn to provide it, to get validation that she's worth it. And Peter basically has been putting up with her this whole time to get this payoff, and now he's had it. And this is the peak of their relationship.
I mean, we've said off jump he wants to sleep with her, and now he's done it, so she can go home.
We're done. They've both fulfilled their purpose.
We are truly done. Back at the house, Hannah Ann and Madison are chatting with each other. Now this is where we finally get the real tea information. Because Madison did not want to disclose to Victoria, and I can only imagine why. So, Madison disclosed to Hannah Ann what she discussed with Peter during the rose ceremony. She said much of the same thing. She essentially said, you know, I told him I would be really upset if he slept with anybody else. great. And Hannah Ann said, okay, cool.
Like,
me too. And then Madison said, I'm saving myself for marriage, so this is actually a really big deal for me. And him sleeping with somebody else means that I might walk out on this whole thing. She never said that to Peter.
Interesting.
This is all new information.
She is saying this now, again, timing-wise. Both of the other women have had a chance to do this. The timing is terrible, Madison.
And she's saying it now to Hannah Ann, which is...
Somebody who just slept with
him. Somebody who just slept with Peter.
In the middle of the other girl sleeping with him.
Girl.
She tells the girl who has already slept with him that she doesn't want anybody to do that.
And now, the other two girls are like, well, we're obviously going to have sex with him. And now you look stupid because you are going to walk away from this whole thing because we banged two other people. And now you're going to give this guy this reverse ultimatum. He can't take it back. This is not how this math works.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Victoria comes back.
Well, Victoria comes back. We don't talk about it right now. Everyone just goes, oh, you're so skinny. You're so tan.
You're so tan. What?
What are you reading?
No, nothing.
Sorry. Nobody says that.
Nobody says
what are you reading.
And you know nobody's reading.
So now it's Madison's turn.
Oh, boy.
This is for lack of a clearer picture, this is what the entire season hinges on.
I called this date the old leap of faith date. They like to do the dates where there's usually somebody who is having a challenge expressing something. Somebody can't communicate very well. So they make them usually go off the top of a big building and jump off of it.
Yeah, this is like a fourth grade symbolism type lecture.
Right, right.
So they go to the biggest, tallest building in Gold Coast, which is a bunch of stories tall, I guess. Mm. And Peter goes, you can only take an elevator up so high. After that, you have to climb. And I said, oh my God, they have to climb stairs. And then I said, no, wait, maybe they have to climb outside. No, they're just climbing stairs strapped into them. Yeah. They're just walking upstairs.
Yeah.
It's not a super serious challenge,
mm-mm.
But I guess, you know, everyone is afraid of heights. Nothing is easy at that height. But walking upstairs, I guess, it's not as dramatic as it's been before.
I don't know. You're in Australia. Everything's great.
Other seasons have things with real-life scary physical challenges. This one is on the very low end of that scale.
It's fine. So...
So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Back at the house, the girls are solving a mystery.
Mm.
Victoria and Hannah Ann... Definitely the two dumbest contestants this year.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Watching them have a conversation is like watching two walls have a conversation. It is nobody saying anything. Everyone's just looking around confused. Hannah Ann's crying.
Yeah.
And that's it. But Hannah Ann basically goes, hey, Madison told me this thing. And Victoria goes, wait a second. She's going to be angry at me. The whole reason I'm here is to sleep with him. She's going to be angry at me. I'm going to proactively get angry at her.
So... Here's the thing.
That's accurate, right? Is this...
Yeah, that's what happened. However, the other thing that I want to bring up is that Victoria says, well, I'm just going to be mad on Peter's behalf. If you hadn't had sex with this man and you had heard
fake
this...
Fake empathy.
And right. And
I'm gonna have the feeling that I want to have, but I'll do it for his sake.
I'm angry for you. But if you had not had sex with this man... You would be really upset at this point to say you, because also the two girls have to know that she's a front runner. They can't act like, and they have not sort of addressed their anxiety around this at all. Usually at this time, the people start to address the anxiety around who's a front runner. But Victoria and Hannah Ann are not focused on that. No. So this fake sort of narrative of, oh my gosh, I'm so upset about this. You already saw his penis. It doesn't matter.
But also, this is where, earlier when I was like, speculation, it's time for that. Imagine this the other way around. Imagine how angry Victoria especially would be if Madison said, hey, Peter, don't have sex with these women for me. And Peter goes, okay. And now,
incensed.
And now Victoria has spent this entire show waiting for this one moment and doesn't even get it.
Right.
She would have been so much worse
yes.
if that happened.
This is her only superpower.
She's going to be angry no matter what.
Yes.
And I think the girls are both realizing that they're just categorically different people than Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Different and worse.
Yes.
And they're looking for any reason possible
yeah.
to get angry at her. And this is an easy one.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we talked about this last week a little bit. And I don't know if you and I just talked about this or, you know, we said it on the show, but I'm going to repeat it regardless. So this is my show and I can say what I want. This was the only tool left in their toolbox.
This is the only tool Victoria and Hannah Ann have, period,
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. So, I mean, it happened the way that it happened because the producers are diabolical geniuses.
Madison goes third.
That Madison went third uh-huh. out of all of this.
And they're living together.
But again, Madison's fault here is that she didn't tell Peter at the right time. They had 2 one-on-one dates before they even got to this point.
At the right time or even clearly. She didn't tell him, period.
Like, she didn't tell him, period. Okay, so let's get to it so that we can go through some of these big questions and ideas that we
have. It's time for Peter and Madison to have the talk on their date. And
yes.
Peter starts it off, and you think, at the time, you think, wait, did Peter actually hear it correctly? Because Peter starts off and he's like, listen, let me take care of the elephant in the room.
Right. Let me repeat back to you what you said to
me. Let me just start off right away with the honesty.
Yes.
I had sex with both of them. And Madison goes, oh, you don't need to worry. It wasn't an ultimatum. I'm not really that worried about it. It's like, it's no big thing. Right? Like, I heard that correctly.
So
she said it's not an ultimatum.
Right. So she started the conversation by saying, you know, I just want to be clear that I know that this is a big week for you. This is a big week for everybody. And, you know, like I said, my faith is really important to me. And I would be really upset if you were intimate with the other girls that are here. Because I can't see myself seeing you get down on one knee and knowing that you had sex with somebody that wasn't me 6 days before. And it's like, okay.
Where was that?
No, she still didn't even say the words that we actually wanted her to say. Out of that whole diatribe, all she's expressing are her feelings about her boyfriend having sex with two other people that aren't her. Legit. I hear you. However, you did not say, I don't want you to do this because if you do this, I will walk away. She says that later on in the date. And that's the only time during this entire 2 episodes where she has been unbelievably clear about what it is that she wants.
It's way too late. And it's way too late. This is literally the same conversation. Peter goes, hey, I slept with him. She goes, yeah, it was an ultimatum, don't worry. And then Peter goes, well, let me tell you how hard it was. I was so torn. It was so hard for me to just have sex so many times. I knew that it would damage you. But, like, I did it. It was just hard. And you're listening to him and you're like, bro.
You didn't try.
Maybe.
Like,
maybe just,
I know you didn't try.
Maybe just don't talk about this.
But again, she never said.
Well, she kind of changes her mind mid this.
Well, she never said, even in the conversation that they had at the beginning of the date, that she was saving herself for marriage and that she would not be having sex with him.
It happens here.
This is the time that it happens.
So
reasonably, he would have thought, even after the hanger conversation, that he would have said, okay, well, she's going to be upset about it. But what if I sleep with everybody? Then it'll be fine, right? So then they...
He's an equal opportunity employer. He's just giving everyone a shot.
So you get some, you get some, you get some. It's fine. So he probably gets to the evening part of the date and says, hey, I just wanted to address this. Like, I know you're feeling bad and I want to make sure that you know that I kind of... everybody in the house. But
I just
like,
want to treat everyone equal because I'm a feminist.
Everybody.
Right?
You know, that's what it's about. I love my body. I love your body. Everybody's body is their body. You know what I'm saying?
All four of us at once.
All four at once. And so this was the only time that she expressed clearly these few items. I am saving myself for Luke Perry.
I don't think that was it.
I'm looking at the Clueless poster right now. God rest his soul. that Madison was saving herself for marriage, that she is currently a virgin, and that if he had sex with other people during the fantasy suite, that she would walk, essentially.
So this is the order of this is the order of conversation.
Yeah.
Peter goes, hey, I had sex with people. She goes, okay, wasn't an ultimatum. Don't worry. Peter goes, okay, like, I was a little bit worried about it. You know, I did it, but obviously I was worried about it in the middle of it.
And but she I want to be honest with
and
you.
And then she goes, okay, so just so you know, I'm a virgin, I'm waiting, and I needed you to wait too. It was an ultimatum. And Peter goes, what? Because we can't go back in time. Why didn't you tell me earlier? Actually, he didn't say that because he doesn't confront her about it.
Yeah.
He just goes, I felt bad. I feel bad. What? We can get through this.
Yeah.
You don't, you know. He doesn't ever say, why weren't you clearer?
And so she, there's a moment during this conversation also where she says, you know, I came on the show knowing what I know and knowing about myself and the standards. And she talked a lot about the standards that she upholds for herself. And she talked about, you know, it was hard seeing you kiss all these women, but I got through it and I dealt with it. You know, knowing what was sort of to come was sort of going to be the biggest test of all. And I'm like,
he knows that. He was in your shoes, yeah, 6 months ago.
But also, this can't be a test if you don't tell him what's on the quiz, you know?
Yeah, you can't give someone a test after they've already answered the question.
You can't do that.
That doesn't make sense.
You cannot do that. And unfortunately, my other question is, if you knew that this was part of it, how could you not? Why would you come on the show? If you knew that this was going to be such a trial for you, for your faith, for the experience that you wanted to have in finding the kind of person that you wanted to marry, why would you do this?
Because nobody cares about that. Everyone cares about getting more Instagram followers and being selected as the most attractive of a slew of attractive women.
So
everyone just wants the validation. Nobody actually cares about Peter. Everyone just wants to be officially identified as the hottest woman there.
So before we
move, the same reason the guys do it too.
Yes. So before we move on to the end of the episode and sort of our bold predictions for next week and the week to come, I want to address sort of the difference between Luke P and Madison.
Okay.
So here, it's very clear that Madison, one, did not tell Peter what her intentions were.
She didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything.
Well, she said something, but it was ineffective.
It was ineffective. Luke P., as we know, was very vocal with Hannah B. early on, way before Fantasy Suite dates. What was on the table, what was not on the table, what she was allowed to do and what she was not allowed to do. Those were, I would not even call that an ultimatum. I would call the way that he spoke to her demands.
Threatening.
Threats. There was some policing of her body going on. He also shamed her. He also sexually shamed her by saying, you know, you could do some bonehead things or do some dumb stuff. That was gross. We don't like that. Madison, on the other hand, did not shame Peter. She didn't say, you know, that was so stupid that she would have sex with these other two women eventually when she did say what she needed to say. But I just want to be clear that on how I think the two things are different.
Also, Madison is an actual virgin and not a virgin from an arbitrary point in time that she decided, like Luke was.
Thank you. Also true.
Madison is winning. Mm-hmm. Luke was in basically dead last when he said it.
Luke was standing next to Tyler Cameron, so stop.
There is a difference between her being like, hey, I'm winning, and I just want to set this test out there to make sure that you're as serious as I am. That's one thing. Somebody saying, hey, I'm in dead last, and I'm going to punish you with a restriction because of it is, that's a different kind of thing.
But I mean, even beyond that, Luke was a monster. And like, even if he wasn't in dead last, I mean, he thought he was winning.
Whatever. And he's a psychopath.
He's a psychopath. But
Madison's not a psychopath.
Yeah.
She's just immature.
She's immature. She's 23 years old.
Not immature in a bad way. She's young.
She's young.
Luke is just an animal of a person. He's a monster.
He's a monster. So, clearing that up.
That's it.
I mean,
nobody was eliminated.
Yes.
Next week we're going to do one elimination and the women tell all, I guess. Maybe an hour and an hour or something.
Yes, because at the end of this episode, Madison essentially got up, walked out. She was like, I don't know if I can continue to go through with
this. She is big time TBD.
She's big time TBD. She said, I don't know if we're going through with this because I know that you had some P&V and HA action this episode.
So, Madison is still going to win. And it's not even a bold prediction at this point. Madison's still going to win. She's upset about it, but when the prospect of going back to her dumb life hits her and she goes, wait, I could just be famous for a little bit, she'll go back to that.
So I think my bold prediction is going to be, first of all, Hannah Brown is totally out of the equation. So let's start there.
She is.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to get to the final two. Hannah Ann is going to be the other person. He's going to pick Madison, essentially. But the problem is that he's going to break up with Hannah Ann, and Madison is not going to show up to the final rose ceremony.
So he's going to have to go get her.
After some crying inspired
words.
Crying and inspiring words from his roommate. He then goes to visit Madison. They have a long, drawn-out conversation that is filmed. She still is upset with him. And I think sometime between that filmed interaction and the finale, they somehow get back together or figure out how to get back together.
He's just going to be like, listen, I gave up on the other women. You're the only one I wanted, so I just ended it off with everyone else and came to you. And she's going to go, okay, that's enough.
Well, I mean, unless she wanted to marry somebody from her church, it's very unrealistic that she's going to meet another guy who's also a virgin, who is also shares her faith to the degree she does.
She said you don't have to.
Okay, so then what?
She can't make up her mind what she wants.
What do you want?
I think what she really wants is she wants to be cool with somebody else who is not as inexperienced as she is.
Dude,
but she's not.
It's okay for you to not be cool with it. Like, that's the thing. It's
She wants to be like, this is for me, but you can just do anything else that you want. But she's not actually cool with it. She wants to be okay with it.
Mm-mm.
Just like, she thinks that she said don't have sex with anybody else, but she didn't.
This is like also that sort of bullshit cool girl narrative where it's like, oh, it's totally fine. Like, I'm just so cool. Like, I'm just one of the guys. Like, yeah, you can do whatever. Like, I played basketball. Like, I'm fine. No. Tell people what you want. Stop doing this dumb thing where you're trying to be somebody
I'm totally standing cool.
Like, I pee standing up. Like, I might as well be a dude. Like, I've got testicles. No.
Bro, scratch my balls.
Bro, scratch my balls for me, bro. Like, don't. Like, I never shower. Like, I'm so cool. I play video games. And no. Tell people what you want. Be clear about your intentions. And another thing, you and Peter are also probably sexually incompatible because he likes to f*** and you don't know what you're doing. And that's fine, too.
Well, yeah, when you're both babies, yeah, it's fine.
Jeez Christ.
So, that's where we are.
Okay.
Next week, we have part actual episode, part women tell all.
Ooh, love
because
it.
There's no way these women could fill 2 hours of talking. They're so bad.
And spoiler alert, Kelly and Natasha are not going to be at women tell all. So we will have some.
There's your two best talkers.
Then what are we going to do? So,
I don't know. Maybe just tune into our show and listen to us tell you about it is what you're going to do.
That sounds right.
Great. We'll see you next week.
Okay, love you. Bye.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
I am a very safe guy. Practice safety in everything I do. And
in everything.
I'm not going to stop now.
This is not normal, dating 30 women.
You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Live vicariously through my love story.
Everyone thinks I fell in love with everyone.
I am in touch with my emotions. It's like the number one thing for me.
I think it comes from my Cuban roots.
I mean, it was uncomfortable. It was awkward.
You date that many women, there's going to be drama.
Wow.